Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship. So excited that you are here today. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to first find out who is in worship. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad and sign it. Give us any contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once it reaches the last person, when you're done, if you could send it back to where it got started, and we do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you so much for that. A couple of things draw your attention to. We are having children's time today. We'll invite the kids to come down after the first hymn and see me for just a few moments. This afternoon, right after worship, we're having our second training session for our Wednesday night ministry that's starting in our youth ministry this fall. And so we're all adults. If you came to the last session, you don't need to come to this one. But any people who are interested in what's going on Wednesdays with our youth and family ministries, please come. Lunch will be provided, and that will start right after worship starts or is over, and then we'll finish up. Have lunch, and then we'll do the training very quickly. So thank you for that. In a couple of weeks, we're having a special service, one that I look forward to every year. It is our service of affirmation. That's in 11 o'clock worship in 2 weeks. Most of the kids have either started going back to school, colleges have moving back. The county goes back next Monday. At the beginning of the school year, we have our service of affirmation where we spend time during worship praying for teachers, praying for educators, praying for parents. And that will be the day also where we get new prayer partners. Every child, youth, or college student in our church has an adult who will pray for them throughout the year. And so that will be the day that new prayer partners will be partnered up. So we look forward to a special time. A couple of extra things that day. This is August the 30th, 2 weeks from today, at 9 o'clock, we will have a breakfast in Smith Hall. Everyone is invited to the breakfast. At 9:45, we will start our Sunday school celebration. This is the day where promotion happens in our children's department. But we're inviting all of our Sunday school classes to come, be a part of worship, be a part of breakfast, and then the celebration. And then our friend Matt Four. Matt came several years ago. He's a speaker, an illusionist. He's a great guy. He's going to be here that day. He's going to be our main speaker for the program in Smith Hall. And then he'll preach during the 11 o'clock service. Many of you may not know Matt's name. He speaks around the world. Just a tremendously talented, gifted man of God. And we look forward to him being a part of that day on August the 30th. So mark your calendar down and make sure you don't miss that very special day on August the 30th. Mary.
I say we will be meeting for Monday morning Bible study tomorrow at 10 o'clock as usual. Book club will meet on the 31st of this month. That's usually the last Monday night of the month. Our book this month is The Invisible Girls by Sarah Thabarge. And it's a quick read. I'll say it's easy reading in terms of short chapters and stuff, but it gives you a whole lot to think about along the way. So I invite you to read ahead and come join us on the 31st.
Okay. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. Just make note of those. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We're so thankful for you being a part of worship. We would like to give something to you. You gave us your information on the pew pad, and we appreciate that very much. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and our ushers are going to recognize you, and they're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the history of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. Had the opportunity this week to go up to the mountains of Virginia, a few days with family, and I was just struck The weather was great. It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too cold. Have you ever just taken a moment to look at what God has made? Just to let it sink in. Look at the mountains, the rivers, the valleys. But most importantly, for me, being with family, to see 5 children under the age of 8 running around, playing together, see what God has made. What a beautiful thing that is. But you know what? He's our Father. You and I are His children. He loves to be near us. Created us. Molded us, shaped us, put His breath in us. What an amazing God that we serve. Not a God who is off in the distance, but a God who inhabits this sanctuary because He wants to be with us. Isn't that a great reminder of how incredible God is? Let us prepare for worship. Pray with me. And everywhere that man can be, Thou, Lord, art present there. Father, what a promise and a reminder this morning that You are here. ready to hear us worship you, ready to speak a word into our lives. May we have the ears to hear and the courage to respond. Speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we invite the kids. Come on down. Hey, Rebecca.
Drew.
All right. Need everybody crisscross applesauce for me? And everybody looking this way. All right, good job. Now, I have a question. Has anybody ever seen these pretty plates before up here? Does anybody know has anybody seen these before? These little ones? What's in there? Don't touch, because just look. What do they look like? What do they look like, Drew?
Bread.
They look like bread. They're little crackers. Yeah. Well, why are they up here? Well, wait. Not to be outdone. There's a bigger one. Here's a bigger one. What do you think's in here?
Juice.
Do y'all see that juice in there?
I can't
really see. There. I'll make sure. See? I'll bring it back. See it? Juice. So we have bread or crackers and juice. Now, why are we having crackers and juice in church this morning? Does anybody know? It's a big question, isn't it? Let me ask this. When you remember something, what is that? What do you do when you remember something? Something in the past, and it comes to your brain that you think about it, right? Isn't that when we remember, like you remember you got something for Christmas, your favorite present, or you went somewhere on a fun trip, right, to the beach or somewhere like that. You remember fun things that you did, right? Those things that happened in the past. Well, when you see these plates up here, all of us are remembering something very, very special. There was a man by the name of Jesus, right? He was a real man. He walked up and he talked to people, and he loved us so much, and he didn't want us to forget how much he loved us. And so he got all of his disciples up in a room. Said, hey guys, I love you guys so much. Here's a little bit of bread to remember me by. Here's a little bit of juice. And I want you to keep doing it to remember I'm not just this story. I was a real person who lived with you and walked with you. And I loved you so much. I don't want you to forget me. And so, for a year, long time, Christians, like in this church, we get together and we have bread and juice to remember. Can you say remember? Remember Jesus. That's why we do communion. It's to remember what Jesus did. Jesus was a real man and did amazing things. So, when you see these at church next time, why do we do this? To remember Jesus. Can you say that with me? Remember Jesus. Isn't that what we should do? Let's pray together. God, thank you that you sent your Son to show us, to show the world how much you love all of us. Let us never forget how you showed that love to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go back to your seats now. Good job.
Good morning. This morning, I've been asked to give the prayer of thanksgiving. I'd like to take this opportunity to make a request of everyone just for a quick second. This week, I've had an opportunity to become very close with my neighbor when my tree crashed into her pool. Very close we've become. The opportunity that came to us, our family, from this happening is we found that our neighbor is having some issues, some personal issues with herself that we weren't aware of, had some problems that maybe we could help her with. And every day I drive past her driveway, every day I see her, wave at her, she waves back, we do the, hey, how you doing? That's about where we all left it. This tree crashing down gave us an opportunity to see a vision into her life that we really hadn't seen before. So the request I'm going to make to all y'all is whether it's your neighbor at home, your neighbor at the pew right next to you right now, or your neighbor at work, remember, we all have issues going on. We all have problems. And even though we can see each other, even though we throw the hand up and say hello to everybody, sometimes we just need to slow down and stop and ask that question. In reality, mean it, love them, and say, truly, how are you doing? Just my request to all of y'all from our experience. So let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for allowing all of us to come into your house this morning. We thank you for the ability to meet with our neighbors here at church. We thank you for the ability to praise you and to praise your Son. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
I've been asked a lot, did I enjoy my 2 weeks away? And yes, I did. And then I was asked, are you glad to be home? Yes, I am. Very much so. I'm also grateful for Jeff and Charles and their leadership bringing the message the last couple of weeks. I'll tell you, as I flew home from England last Monday, there were a lot of things going on in my brain trying to process all that I experienced over there. And one of the things that I experienced was the sheer number of church buildings all over that little island, quote unquote, just the sheer number of church buildings. And the question kept running through my mind the whole 2 weeks, literally, is, so whatever happened to the church? What happened here? More about that in just a minute. I want to go back and read you a passage of scripture that we used almost exclusively when we were doing the series last fall entitled Be the Message. It goes like this. It's from Acts chapter 2, beginning of verse 42. It's talking about the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now let me jump over for just a moment. From Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, this is the passage that's listed there in your order of service. And I wanted to read it because it speaks to the supremacy of Christ as head of the church, as head of the body. Beginning in verse 15, it says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Whatever happened to the church? Reading from Acts chapter 2, how the church began, what has happened to the church? Last Monday, I had a friend of mine tell me, well, you know, Raymond, if you've seen one big cathedral, you've seen them all. He was referring to my trip. And I told him, have you ever seen St. Paul's Cathedral in London? He said, no. I said, obviously. Have you ever seen Canterbury Cathedral in Canterbury? He said, no. I said, uh-huh. 2 weeks ago, about 5, 6, 7 hours before y'all gathered here in worship, my sister and I were worshiping at St. Paul's Cathedral in London. We've got the pictures to prove it. We showed them in the front. It is a remarkable, almost unbelievable structure. Magnificent. So much history. As they were giving us a tour of this place earlier in the week, they told about the fact that during World War II, as the Germans were bombing London, every morning Winston Churchill would get up and his first phone call was to his, I guess it was Minister of Interior or the equivalent of that, and he would call and say, is St. Paul still standing? He wanted to know that every morning because he knew that the faith, the hope, the mission of their country was somewhat dependent upon that structure, that monument, if you will, to their faith and hope. It was so magnificent, and yet, giving where it is now, and more about that in just a moment, it's kind of sad. as we sat there in worship, it was nice. It was mostly observing because the hymns were hard to sing along with, and you know it was mostly observing. But it was beautiful. It was quite beautiful to sit in to enjoy the service. But the text for the day was from Song of Solomon. Yeah. And I sat there as they read the text, I thought, are they going to preach on this? And sure enough, they did. When it came time to preach, there was a young lady, little blonde, pretty little gal that was the assistant priest at St. Paul's Cathedral. And she very eloquently led us through an exegesis of the passage, true to Scripture. Just a wonderful rendering, just a wonderful sermon on that passage from Song of Solomon. And after it was over with, I told my sister, I said, I want to go meet her and let her know I really appreciate the fact she stayed so true to the text and yet applied it to modern life. I really appreciated that. And as we're going out, I went up and I introduced myself and I introduced my sister. I said, we are Baptist ministers from the States. And she looked at me and she goes, yeah, where are y'all from? I went, well, what happened to the accent? And she goes, I'm from Atlanta. I said, yeah, somehow I knew it would take a Southern girl to come over here and preach this passage to this church. You know, it really, and there was a line behind us. And I said, let me get your contact information. I'd love to talk with you. And she said, certainly. And we traded cards. And I told Philip as we left from there, I want to know her journey. I want to know what led her from a little Southern gal in Atlanta, Georgia, to basically number two in the Anglican Church. Because St. Paul's is the Mecca of the Anglican Church. What led her down that journey? I want to know her story. But as we walked out of there, we got more pictures as we were leaving. And I looked at that structure, and then it began this whole taking notes on my phone, preparing for this morning. You know, forming a sermon in my mind, because all over England, all over Scotland, I saw these magnificent structures that at one point in history were full of worshipers. Now, I get the whole thing that it was a state church. I get that. You know, the king says, I'm Christian. Do you want to be? Yeah, sure. Sorry. Yeah, I'm a Christian. You bet, king. I mean, you know, I get that. I understand that. And I understand all with Scotland. I understand John Knox, the influence. I get all of that. I know the history of it. But yet at some point they were full. And I saw these buildings and I showed a picture at 9 o'clock of this one beautiful little church in Scotland. Magnificent, frankly, in its simplicity. And then I panned back and took another shot, and there was a giant blue and white for sale sign there. And it was just, you know, we're driving through the country, and I'm telling Flippa, whoa, stop, I need that picture. You know, don't ride with my sister. Yeah, it's bad enough when I'm not with her giving directions. But I wanted that picture because for me that encapsulated what I had been seeing all week and what I would continue to see. And that was church after church after church building being sold. And now they're restaurants, they're bars, they're community centers, they're apartment complexes. They are also other less mentionable and desirable businesses that are inhabiting what used to be houses of worship. And it broke my heart. And we would be tempted to say, well, that can never happen here in America. Oh, yes, it is. It is happening here in America. It certainly is. Maybe not on the scale yet that it is in the UK, but we're headed down that road. They just got a head start on us. So what do we do? How do we avoid traveling down that same road? Apart from the politics of let's not make state church so we don't have that whole tension. What do we do as the body of Christ? What do we do? Well, I came up with three R's, just because I don't do that very often. I came up with three R's. I think as the church, we need to understand that we need to be radical. You see, socially acceptable leads to complacency. The gospel of Jesus Christ was and still is radical in its nature. It stands against the selfishness of culture. It stands against the religious establishment then and now. Yes, even now. There's a couple of books I want to, and I've recommended them to you before, but that seem particularly relevant. Again, I mentioned them again today. A book by David Platt was released 4 or 5 years ago called Radical. It will challenge you. It'll wear you out. But it's a great read. I highly recommend it. Right after that, he released a book called Radical Together. This book talks about radical faith personally. This one deals more with how do we do it as the body of Christ? How do we do it corporately? Both great books. And they begin with the assumption that the gospel of Jesus Christ runs counter to our culture. It did then. It still does. It runs counter to the somewhat sterilized 21st century church life. It's a good read, the gospel and those books. Go back and read them both. Understand, radical love, radical sacrifice of our God. And that's what we're called to. Second R is righteousness. The church should be righteous. Now, not according to the law, as Charles so ably reminded us last week. This is not about the law, righteousness through the law. It's about grace. It's not about self-righteousness, as we're so often accused of being as the church. So where does our righteousness come from? It has to come through Christ living through us. We're not capable. So it has to be about Christ living through us as we are being faithful to live as He lived, to treat others as He did, all the while remembering His words that if we love Him, we will keep His... Yeah. See, it all goes together. Our motivation is love. Treat others as we would want Christ, and Christ showed us how to treat others. Love God. Why? Because He first loved us. Motivated by love, agents of grace, reflecting His righteousness. So we are to be radical, we are to be righteous, we are thirdly to be relevant. Man, God's always relevant. I mean, He is. The failure is on our part. Unfortunately, we're not faithful in our witness to tell others who He is and who He is in our life. You see, nobody can argue with your own personal testimony. Nobody can argue with the theology of what Christ has done for you. They can't argue with that. That's your story. That is your witness. Is God relevant in your life? Yes or no? If He is, tell His story. Tell how He's relevant in your life. Tell how He's changed your life. Tell how God is real for you. Speak the truth of who He is and what He desires from us with no apologies. Speak the truth and speak it out of spirit of love. Yeah. Speak the truth, but speak it in love. God does not need us to glamorize His existence. Okay? He doesn't need us to do that. Nor does He want us to water down His word. Speak the truth. He has given grace freely, and that's what we celebrate at the communion table. He has given us grace freely, but it was not cheap. It was paid at a price. And so it's time to quit giving God credit for our half-hearted efforts. He doesn't want credit for that. Don't give credit to God for your half-heartedness. He doesn't want it. Nor should we give Him the blame for our bad decisions. I love people when they say, you know, everything happens for a reason. Preacher, everything happens for a reason. My response when I have the courage to do it is my favorite cross stitch. And it reads like this. Yes, everything does happen for a reason. But sometimes the reason is you're stupid and you make bad decisions. You know, don't blame that on God. Don't blame that on God. understand, despite what the world says, non-believers are not looking for shallow. They're not. They may think they are, but deep down they're not. They're not looking for shallow, cheap philosophy. They are looking for radical truth that will change their lives and give their lives meaning and purpose. That's what they want. They just don't realize it yet. Billy Graham says every person has a God-sized void in their heart. They just need to be introduced. Man, isn't that the truth? And our job is to get that message out. To get the message out. To take every opportunity. When your tree falls in your neighbor's pool, take that opportunity to love them, to encourage them, to speak the truth of the gospel to them. We have to continue to reach out with the message, trust the Holy Spirit, the passage from Acts chapter 2, and God added to their number daily. Okay? That's His work. Our work is to be faithful to reach out. And as we prepare to share communion together, we're reminded Christ died for all of us. Amen? He died for all of us. He died for all those that are not in the church. Amen? They're not here yet. I don't believe in non-believers. I believe in not yet believers. Okay? He died for all of us. We have a tendency in church sometimes to handpick those that we want to be a part of our number. And in doing that, it flies in the very face of the sacrifice of our Lord. Shame on us. Shame on us. And there will be some already have left our congregation because we are reaching out to people from all walks of life. But we cannot let that stop. We have to continue to do our part in reaching beyond these walls with the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? When you say amen, did you know you're saying, so be it? You're agreeing. You're agreeing, God, let it be so. Let it be so. Three R's. Three R's. Do you remember them? Number one. Number two. Number three. Pray that God will make us as a church, not just College Park, but the church universal. All of those things and much, much more. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this time. A time where we can learn from your word, we can learn from our experiences, we can learn from what we share together as the body of Christ. Father, help us. Help us as we seek to live out the Great Commission in our own lives personally as well as a church. A church that knows you and loves you and believes you, but sometimes fails in our application and in our witness of those things. Help us even today to look for every opportunity to preach the good news of Jesus Christ and, if necessary, use words. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Before our deacons begin their service, let me give you just a couple of words of instruction about the Lord's Supper, the communion here at College Park. We believe in communion of the believers, whether you're a member of this church or not. We invite you to join us as we commune together as well as with our God. And we don't do the Lord's Supper. We don't do communion. We serve communion, which means I invite you to serve your neighbor. As the tray is passed, rather than taking it and taking a cracker, a piece of bread, if you would serve the person beside you. Yes, it is symbolic, but it also helps us to remember that we're here to serve one another, even as we serve the God who created us. We are called to remember, as Jeff explained so well to the children. We're called to remember. And in remembering, there is conviction. Because as we remember the nature of His sacrifice, we should remember that we are called to sacrifice all that we have, all that we are, to be obedient to Christ. Wherever that leads us, wherever that journey may go, we are called to follow Him. So as you take, hear His words. Hear His words that this was His body broken for you. It's very personal. It was broken for you. Remember as you eat. I'll be honest with you, every time we have communion together, every time we serve communion together, the phrase that just hammers in my mind is a new covenant in my blood. Man. A new covenant, a new opportunity, a new arrangement with the God who created us, a new agreement, a new opportunity, a new chance, a fresh start in His blood. He paid for it. I can't get past that. What did I do to deserve? Nothing. I couldn't. That's the reason He did it all. So as you take the cup, remember, He paid it all. We want to give you an opportunity to respond to what you've experienced in worship today. If you are not yet a believer, not yet a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'd like to talk with you about that. I'd like to share with you how you can come to know Christ personally and have a personal relationship with Him. If you can't muster up the courage to come down here this morning and talk, we're going to sing in just a moment, and that'll give you an opportunity to come speak with me. But if you just don't want to come down here, call me this week. Call me this week. Let's get together and talk about that. But if you'd like to respond this morning, there'll be an opportunity for you to as we sing in just a moment. If you're here and you are a believer, but you maybe haven't been tracking exactly where you know God wants you to be, this is your opportunity as well. Now, you can certainly pray right where you are, square that away with Him right where you are. The altar will be open here. I'll be here, be glad to talk with you and pray with you, whatever you desire, to kind of help you get back on track. If you're here and you'd like to be a member of this church, there's a number of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. But the most important thing today is making sure, number one, you have that relationship with Christ, and number two, that you're living in the power and the glory of that relationship. Don't lead a defeated Christian life. The battle's been won. We just need to claim it. Claim the victory and lead that kind of life that God desires for us deeply. So let's stand and sing together as you have an opportunity to respond.
Truth you now bring.
our benediction response, I want to invite you, look around you, greet one another, encourage one another as we go out in faith. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. It's a beautiful day to be in your house to worship. Father, help us not to take this for granted. Father, help us to give thanks. Thanks in all things, even if not for all things. And as we do so, Father, we will live out a life that will point others to you. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray.